This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Safe and effective or unsafe and ineffective? It's the biggest lie ever told. And even if you think you know, there's more to this story than you have been told. And today on Viewpoint, we're going to tell some more of this COVID story. I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation, as always, with ever increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And indeed, we're looking at something here while we're seeing how the justice system has been completely corrupted in order to achieve power, perks, and position. Today, we also see how the medical profession has been corrupted for power, perks, and position, including vast sums of money given through the pharmaceuticals to, well, you guessed it, funneled through Dr. Fauci, who is now appearing before Congress again for interesting interviews. But before we get to that, we want to talk about little St. Louis Zoo gorilla Little Joe. Little Joe had two COVID shots, and he died of a heart attack. Why did he die of a heart attack? Well, Little Joe, who was very popular there in the St. Louis Zoo, suffered the heart attack after he had taken COVID shots. That's right, the jab. He was around 26 years of age, and in the wild, these gorillas normally live 30 to 40 years. But the St. Louis Zoo announced, it is with incredible sadness that we share that Western Lowland gorilla Little Joe, who had been in treatment for heart disease, died of a heart attack overnight on May 4th. The St. Louis Zoo had announced in September 2021 that it was on an experimental basis giving two shots of the Zoetis COVID vaccine to what is considered its at-risk primates. We're very fortunate, they said, to partner with Zoetis and have access to this vaccine as an added layer of protection to keep our animals healthy. Well, it didn't keep Little Joe healthy. He died after getting the COVID shots. But he's only an animal, you see. But he gets first treatment at the St. Louis Zoo. A lot of people who have died from the jabs or the shots get little recognition at all. Today, we're going to recognize a couple. One is Aubryn Grundy, 17 years of age, a pretty little girl. The mother of Aubryn Grundy said that, like so many other socially concerned young persons in America, Aubryn was taught and believed that masking and getting vaccinated were ways to protect others from contracting COVID. So she was a true believer in Dr. Fauci and his gospel of COVID jabs. With vaccines that were not vaccines, that were later admitted not to be vaccines, but were nevertheless allowed to be presented as vaccines, and had the President of the United States tell the world and tell Americans that if you get these so-called vaccines, you will not get the virus and you will not be able to transmit it. Neither of which were true. Well, soon after getting her second Pfizer COVID injection, the healthy 17-year-old Michigan high school student suffered cardiac arrest. She was diagnosed with myocarditis and other heart and lung complications right after getting the COVID shots. She died less than 2 months after receiving the first injection. Aubryn's mother said that the teen didn't initially get the shots, but in early 2022, she heard and a friend were selected to go on a summer trip called a pilgrimage for youth. And so in order to participate, they were required to get the COVID injections. Like so many people who were required to get the injections if they wanted to fly, if they wanted to work, if they wanted to go here or there, if they even wanted to cross state lines. And so she got the shot. Well, shortly thereafter, she began to complain about her health. The mother also said the doctors didn't provide the family with a diagnosis. They tested her for several different illnesses, she said, but her infectious disease doctors kept telling me, "We don't know, we don't know, we don't know what's happened." In other words, they couldn't bring themselves to admit the obvious, and that was she died as a result of the shots. A nurse told her they didn't need to do an autopsy because they knew the cause of death, and the family conceded. Oh, they knew the cause of death? And what was it? What did they tell her? Did they tell the mother that the cause of death was COVID shots? No. Then, when we got the result back that it was COVID-19, she said, "I was shocked." In other words, the doctor said that the problem was the virus, not the vaccine. But she didn't have the virus. Shauna and her family suspected her daughter's condition was the result of vaccine injury. But this was not possible because the doctors never even mentioned it. And all her medical records noted that she was fully vaccinated. So if she was fully vaccinated, we know from the pronouncements of the president and Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and all of the other doctors around America that she couldn't possibly have died from COVID because the vaccine would have protected her from COVID. The reality was she died from the jabs. So the mother says people's stories are being suppressed, but they all need to be heard. It's just horrible, all of it. And the stories are heartbreaking. Indeed, they are. Stories about more than little Joe, the gorilla in the St. Louis Zoo. Oh, but there are more. 29 years of age. A terrifying blood clot. The Arizona Cardinals center, Billy Price, required to retire from the NFL at age 29. Why? Well, in the blink of an eye, he said, everything could be taken away. On April 24th, I had emergency pulmonary embolism surgery to remove a saddle clot that was entering both of my lungs. And as a healthy 29-year-old, an unprovoked pulmonary embolism was no further medical explanation. With no further medical explanation is terrifying. So he said, I will be retiring from the NFL as the risk of an internal bleed while on blood thinners creates tremendous risk. Where in this story is the link to the COVID shots? You see, they don't want to tell the truth. But he had a totally unexplained, unprovoked pulmonary embolism with no further medical explanation being provided. Why didn't they provide it? They didn't want it to be known. What would you call this kind of behavior among the medical profession? We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's conversation, as always, with ever convincing conviction and hopefully a talk that transforms as we take a look at the promises that are being made through the medical profession and by our government. And it is more than disconcerting. It's terrifying. It's terrifying that a medical profession that was established based upon do no harm was really willing to gain massive funding to do massive harm and then hide it from the public. And that's exactly what's happened. It was May 24th. The article came out from the World Tribune. Researchers conspired to destroy evidence on COVID outbreak to avoid FOIA requests, Freedom of Information Act requests. Oh, wait a minute. The researchers conspired to destroy evidence? Now, this is real fraud, friends. This is real crime. Where in the Biden administration and through the Department of Injustice do we find any action being taken against the perpetrators of these conspiratorial efforts to hide the truth concerning the dangers that they are actually creating and fomenting upon the public? Normally, in the world of attorneys that are always complained of about going after injuries and trying to protect people who have been unrighteously injured or killed, it seems like this doesn't even compute with the Department of Justice. This doesn't even compute, even on the criminal level, let alone the civil level, with the Department of Injustice. In other words, the Department of Injustice under Mr. Garland is only interested in political power, not interested in protecting the public. Why? Well, maybe the answer will come later on in the program when you find the extreme cash haul that came from Big Pharma as a result of it. So, the report from the World Tribune says top researchers who worked on manipulating bat coronaviruses to better infect humans conspired to delete email evidence of their communications surrounding the outbreak of COVID. According to new released emails of the House Select Committee, Subcommittee on Coronavirus Pandemic. Well, this is very much akin to what Hillary Rodham Clinton did with bleaching out, so to speak, whatever they called it, to completely destroy the taped evidence of her apparently criminal behavior, destroying evidence. Here, these people destroyed evidence. They destroyed evidence in the name of protecting a scheme, a conspiracy, basically to defraud the American public. The emails focused on top National Institute of Health advisor, Dr. David Morans, who solicited help from the National Institutes of Health Freedom of Information Act office to dodge records requests. So the intent was to dodge all proper legal Freedom of Information requests. Morans appeared before the House Select Subcommittee on Coronavirus Pandemic on May 22nd, just a couple of weeks ago. The party learned from our FOIA lady, he said, Morans, Dr. David Morans said, I learned from our FOIA lady here to make emails disappear. How to make emails disappear after I am FOIA'd, but before the search starts. In other words, hiding evidence. Now, it's a crime to hide evidence. In fact, it's a felony to hide evidence. So why is it there no charge for a felony charge against Dr. David Morans and those that conspired with him, including the FOIA lady who taught him how to make emails disappear? He said, plus, I deleted most of those earlier emails after sending them to Gmail. In another email, Morins claims that, quote, with the help of our IT folks, I went over the whole computer and phone situation. Basically, my Gmail is safe from Freedom of Information Act requests. Morins also emailed Peter Daszak, advising him, we are all smart enough to know never to have smoking guns. And if we did, we wouldn't put them in emails. And if we found them, we'd delete them. Notice the growing number of people that are involved in this conspiracy. In an email to Peter Hotez, Morins wrote, the email somehow fell into the hands of the congressman, probably the FOIA of someone who didn't delete it, as I did. And that's when it all started to hit the fan, he said. Subcommittee Chairman Brad Winstrup, Ohio Republican, said in his opening remarks at the investigation, quote, the information contained in these 30,000 pages of emails are deeply concerning. You think? He said Dr. Fauci's leadership and the National Institute of Health under Dr. Francis Collins was unfortunately less pristine than so many, including the media, would have had us all to believe. Talk about minimizing the problem. Less pristine? No, it was outright fraudulent. It was outright deceptive, intentionally deceptive, destroying evidence, conspiring to keep the law from functioning. And interestingly, the National Institute of Health was under Dr. Francis Collins, who was touted to be this wonderful Christian man. Please help me with this. Help us all, Lord. What are we willing to do for power, perks, and position? What are we willing to do for money? Yes, I'm asking a rhetorical question of all of us. We go on. Going to the UK. Data out of the United Kingdom from the Office for National Statistics for mortality rates in 2021 indicated a large spike in deaths for the non-COVID vaccinated, seemingly indicated that not taking the vaccine led to higher death rates. However, it has been discovered that the opposite was true, that the dead's vaccination status had been altered by the government. Are you getting the picture now? This was in the U.S., this was in the U.K., our mother country. They altered the facts. Why did they alter the facts? Why was this conspiracy entered into by those in the highest echelons of America's so-called dedicated medical people to the health of the country? Why? We have to answer the why questions, and it goes to the motivation of the heart. No wonder Jeremiah the prophet said, the heart of man is desperately wicked, who could know it? But these are people that were trusted. These are people, whether it's the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, whether it was the National Institute of Health, whether it was infectious diseases under Dr. Fauci, all of these people in the U.S. were deeply trusted. Presidents trusted them. Doctors trusted them. But deep in their hearts, they knew they were not telling the truth. They were making it up. Why were they doing it? Some were doing it just to go along to get along. But not Dr. Fauci, not Dr. Collins, not the CDC. No, they had other deeper motivations. Some people might say, well, you don't have any right to evaluate their motivations. Isn't that judgmental? No, that's not judgmental. It's just using basic reason that God has given us to use. If you cannot discern sin and you cannot discern unrighteousness, then why is it that the Bible compels us to flee unrighteousness? If you can't discern it, why is it that it calls us to flee people that conduct themselves this way? If you can't discern that they do that. No, the kind of judgment that the Bible's talking about is condemnation. It's not discernment. We're called to discern, especially Christians are called to discern. The natural man is going to do what the natural man does, the sinful man, the unregenerate man. But Christians, no, we're supposed, if anyone is supposed to be able to discern unrighteousness, it's we who profess the name of Christ. And we must be discerning. That's the reason we're bringing this up here, not to be sensationalistic. I really get quite tired of dealing with the COVID and COVID vaccine issue. But the problem is so deep and so endemic in the mind and heart of the medical profession, the government, the statisticians, not only in America, but in the entire Western world, including our mother country. So here's what happened. In this report, called Deaths of COVID Vaxxed Labeled Non-Vaxxed, Government Data Confirms. In the UK, the most likely explanations for the observed anomalies, that is, those that the unvaxxed people were actually the bigger causes of death rather than the vaxxed people. The most likely explanations for the observed anomalies are a combination of systematic miscategorization of deaths between the different categories of unvaccinated and vaccinated. Systematic, that means intentional, ongoing, unmitigated underestimation of the proportion of unvaccinated and or incorrect population selection for COVID deaths. This was intentional. That's what they're saying. The larger story of this is miscategorization bias. Now, what is bias? Bias is the intent to try to bring about a particular conclusion that you have already predetermined you want to bring about, no matter what it takes to bring it about. Even if you have to lie, distort, change the statistics, whatever you have to do, that's what you're going to do. So, COVID shots, people who received COVID shots and then died were actually labeled as unvaccinated. Why? Because the bias of those who were doing this concluded that if they had been vaccinated, they would not have died. You see the point here? And this is how doctors throughout the entire world and in the United States and our hospitals have come to the conclusion and rationalized it that if somebody is dying of these blood clots and so on, with no explanation, they have to conclude it could not possibly have been the vaccine or the jab, because that was supposed to prevent these things. So there's bias, vast, dishonest bias that has promoted millions and millions of deaths. We'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Again, today on Viewpoint, we're going back to the review and update concerning the COVID, but more particularly the alleged vaccine and its impact upon the lives of the American people, the Brits, and yes, people worldwide by implication. And the news that is coming out is increasingly confirming that what was presented as truth was not only untruth, but was known to be untruth, and that the truth was actually intentionally being hidden. And statistics were being changed in order to protect the guilty, so to speak, in order to protect a system that had been put in place basically to advance the cause of globalism and to make people rich, power, perks, and position at the hands of the pharmaceutical industry. And we'll get to that more directly in just a few moments. We go back to the Brits in the UK. The larger story of the miscategorization, the bias that resulted in miscategorization of deaths, is the real story. People, the medical profession, and yes, even the government wanted to believe that the vaccine was going to protect everybody. And by thereby, of necessity, anyone who got the virus or who died from the virus must have been unvaccinated. The fact is, that was not true. And that's the story. That's why unvaccinated deaths spiked immediately after the vaccine rolled out. And that's how they hid COVID vaccine deaths and kept rolling out the so-called vaccine. I'm reading right now for the report. The key problem is that people who died after vaccination before April 2021 did not necessarily have their deaths recorded as vaccine deaths. Now, that was in the UK. The problem is that the very same thing was occurring through the CDC in America, by their ultimate admission. We go back to the interview by the subcommittee there in Congress of Dr. David Morans, Dr. Anthony Fauci's senior advisor. Remember Dr. Anthony Fauci, head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases? Well, Dr. Morans revealed a pattern withholding important information that the nation deserved to know, said retired Admiral Brett Giroir. What was revealed here in that testimony, and not only in the testimony, but also in the documents, is that Dr. Morans and senior members of the National Institute of Health staff implied that Dr. Fauci was involved, obfuscated, and covered up official government business. Now, Dr. Garore is a former U.S. Assistant Secretary for Health and member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. So, the biggest lie ever told is that the vaccines were vaccines and that you would be safe in taking them. And that was promoted with unadulterated, shall we say, authority, seeming authority, throughout the medical profession, from the highest positions in the medical profession, and from the highest positions in the political leadership of the country. And therefore, by echoing down the ramp, so to speak, the highest positions in the business and educational scenes. In other words, the entire country and its leadership were absorbed in this deception, including hundreds of thousands of pastors who, thinking that they were making righteous and holy statements, would tell their parishioners, if you don't take the jab, you don't love Jesus and you don't love people. The reality was actually the opposite. And now, this very day, Dr. Anthony Fauci, before Congress, admits he made up the tyrannical COVID guidelines, like child masking and social distancing. He just made it up out of whole cloth. He admitted that there was no scientific basis for it. In fact, that actually has been concluded all over the world. But he admitted it, that some of the most stringent COVID-19 guidelines, including social distancing and child masking, were not rooted in concrete scientific evidence. In other words, he just made it up. And the whole country suffered from it, including maybe you and your children. And the same thing was passed on not only through the schools, but into the churches. And then the governments in many cities and states refused to allow people to meet for worship on the same basis of Dr. Fauci's wholly made up medical treatment. That we had no root, no verification in science whatsoever. So, we go to follow the money. This came out today. Open the Books, is an investigatory agency, not of government, independent, an organization which investigates and uncovers payoffs, payments, and payouts that the government doesn't necessarily want taxpayers to know about. And it has a new report revealing Big Pharma paid the federal government's National Institutes of Health $710 million during the COVID pandemic, some 175 times more than just a few years earlier. Of that amount, Dr. Fauci's National Institute of Health cashed checks for some $690 million, 97% of the total. It was an extreme cash haul at Fauci's Institute. It's the money that makes the thing go around, friends. It's not love, it's the money. Fauci, of course, was the health official acting as a medical dictator during the pandemic from the bat-related virus that most likely emerged from a Chinese laboratory doing experiments on how to make bat viruses worse. Now, Fauci said there had never been any gain-of-function work done by the National Institutes of Health or his infectious diseases group. But then it came out that wasn't true at all. They did do that. They just did it in a nefarious way to try to circumvent people being able to track it. Health officials now essentially have admitted that Fauci's demands for experimental shots injured people, and his requirements for mass and social distancing were based on no scientific evidence. The NIH, National Institutes of Health, and National, group that Dr. Fauci led, wasted countless taxpayer dollars illegally resisting the requirement to tell taxpayers what was happening with their tax dollars. And that's because in the next 2 years, 2022 and 2023, Fauci's Institute collected the equivalent of 175 years worth of royalty payments, nearly $690 million in just 2 years, versus $24 million over a 12-year period previously. So, the book said, we had to sue the National Institute of Health twice in federal court over their royalty payment database. It's been a 2.5-year battle to open the National Institutes of Health books. Why, if everything was above board? Because it wasn't above board. It wasn't above board at all, not even close. So Open the Books reported that in 2022 and 2023, when royalty payments to the National Institute of Health scientists hit record highs, 936 payments were made to scientists with redacted names. In other words, they even hid the recipients. Does this sound like transparency to you? Transparency in government? Yet Joe Biden said that his government was going to be the most transparent of all America's governments in history. Just the opposite. Just the opposite, my friends. Now, there is a new COVID variant called FLIRT, F-L-I-R-T, that's evading immunity. The virus behind COVID has mutated again, this time producing variants nicknamed FLIRT, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. Now, why might this be totally resistant to immunity? We'll talk about that in a few moments.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, we're updating concerning the matter of the so-called vaccines, the response to them, the information that is being uncovered through lawsuits, investigations, congressional investigation, and so on. and by admissions of people and by the unbelievable death patterns among young people throughout the world, even especially among sports people whose health is perhaps the strongest of all. Well, one of those developments is called FLIRT, F-L-I-R-T, a new COVID variant. And it's said to be evading immunity. Now, why is it evading immunity? You see, it's not enough to say that there's something that is evading immunity. We have to always ask the why question. Have you seen that as the pattern here on this program? Not just today, but all the time. We have to ask why, because that's what probes into the source and the motivation for things happening. We have to understand why. So, starting between April 14th and April 27th, a FLIRT variant called KP.2 made up about a quarter of new COVID-19 cases. Dr. Megan Rainey, dean of the Yale School of Public Health, said the FLIRT variances display some concerning changes. One is alterations in the virus's spike protein, which the virus uses to invade the body and trigger illness. So what is it now that worries medical people? Well, here it is. According to Dr. Thomas Russo, the chief of infectious diseases at the Jacobs School of Medicine and Biomedical Sciences at the University of Buffalo, he said, we've got a population of people with waning immunity, which increases our susceptibility to a new wave of virus. Now, let's analyze this. Why is there a waning immunity? It's very simple to understand. The original so-called jabs, not vaccinations, but jabs, the mRNA system that they put into place was designed to defeat, minimize the effects, the symptoms of the original COVID-19 virus. Not eliminate it, not keep you from passing it on, not keep you from getting it, but to minimize the symptoms. That was the truth of the matter. In order to do that, they had to suppress the immune system generally in people's bodies. That's what the jabs did. And with every successive jab, they increasingly suppressed the immune system of everyone who took the jabs. When you suppress the immune system, you then open your body, you've diminished the immune system that God gave you, and it was replaced by an artificial immune system, but only to one thing. Now, people were open to all kinds of things. Their immune systems would no longer function. Well, guess what happened as a result? Cancers exploded. Doctors have been seeing cancers exploding in ways unprecedented among even the young. Every form of cancer. Why? Because the immune systems were intentionally compromised in order to accomplish one thing, and that was to prevent the symptoms of the original COVID virus variant to be diminished. Not eliminated, diminished. Can you imagine anything so unmeritorious, so dangerous for the medical profession to do, to intentionally reduce the immune systems of every human being who would be suckered to take those jabs? That itself, friends, is the kind of thing that in the civil courts would be considered to be worthy of a major death lawsuit, and even potentially criminal cases, because they knew or should have known what the dangers would be. But they chose to look otherwise. This is much bigger than most people really realize. Much bigger. Now we've got a population with people with waning immunity. They're susceptible to just about everything. So the medical profession has been inundated with new and exploding cancers and people dying right and left from blood clots that are so unusual that the doctors say, we can't understand how this is taking place. The reason they say they can't understand it, friends, is because they don't want to understand it, because it causes them to admit that what they did was put on people, the people that trusted them, their patients. They gave them a death sentence. And they can't bring themselves to admit it. Well, we did what we thought was right. No, you did what you were told to do. You did what Dr. Fauci told you. Now, if your employer tells you to go kill somebody or go steal from somebody, do you do it because your employer told you? You see, we have independent responsibility, moral responsibility, spiritual responsibility to discern and make independent decisions. You know where this is leading, my friends? This is leading. All this has led to preparing the vast majority of human beings on this planet, including Americans, for submitting to global government and the mark of the beast. That's all I'm going to say about that. We've talked about it before. That's all we're going to say. Now, where does this lead with regard? We've talked about the money. Well, here's the next iteration. It appears then that preventing pandemics is one of the most lucrative areas in medicine. Money has incentivized preventative research, which frequently leads to disastrous leaks and suppresses effective solutions for the pandemics that emerge. The COVID-19 thing was handled so egregiously, so wickedly, actually, that it's awakened much of the public to this grift and the pandemic industrial complex that's now facing an existential threat to its business model. So therefore, here comes the next threat. To address that threat, the World Health Organization, WHO, has covertly created a treaty behind the scenes which usurps national sovereignty and gives international health agencies terrifying control during health emergencies. So a grassroots activist movement advocating for health freedoms has accomplished something remarkable in their fight to derail the World Health Organization treaty, and they need your help. Through COVID-19, the more money countries spent complying with the WHO's guidelines for mitigating COVID-19, the more the people died. Because of that, many countries in Africa had a COVID-19 death rate which was less than 1% of that seen throughout the Western world. In other words, they were not seduced by Dr. Fauci and his likes. Rather than admit this, though, the World Health Organization is using those deaths to justify a horrific treaty that dramatically increases its power to control each nation's pandemic response. Since its most evil provisions, like complete censorship of dissenting voices and the promotion of a dangerous bioweapons research that inevitably leads to catastrophic lab leaks, have been effectively concealed by the World Health Organization. So it's not just what happened in America with Dr. Fauci and the National Institute of Health and so on. The World Health Organization is also complicit in this and is carrying it to the next level globally. Since the World Health Organization aims to dictate how individual nations' doctors practice medicine, this has required bypassing the normal democratic process. And as treaties may supersede national law, the World Health Organization chose to push each nation into adopting a treaty that grants vast powers to the World Health Organization. This is what was intended from the beginning, my friends. This is the idea that Bill Gates has had from the beginning. This is the idea that Bill Gates and his massive amount of money is promoting: a global government. So the pandemic treaty contains a wish list of each thing the globalists have been working for decades to obtain. It's amazing. It's tying together a series of policies and regulations put together by the World Health Organization, the United Nations, the World Bank, the U.S., the EU, and other multinational organizations, with the assistance of other globalist organizations like the UN and the Rockefeller Foundation, to remedy the so-called deficiencies in our pandemic response. No, they're going to increase those deficiencies, friends, and you will have no ability to resist. Zero. And that's the whole purpose of the treaty. Now, you would think that since the United States Constitution requires that a treaty be approved and signed off not by the president alone, but by the Senate, that would be the course that was being taken. Not so. The great medical expert Joe Biden has decided that he wants to just sign the treaty and get on with it. He doesn't even consider the Constitution. He doesn't even consider that. No, he wants to just sign this baby and get it out there. Do you see how dangerous this man is? This man despises the Constitution if it limits what he wants to do. The whole purpose of the Constitution is to limit what the government can do. But both he and Barack Obama believe that the Constitution should be radically changed to limit the people and give carte blanche to the government. And that's where we are today. It is that spirit that is ushering in the final preparations for the New World Order, the global government, the Great Reset, and all of those things that not only we talk about here on this program, but that the Bible itself foretells. Now, this is information. The transformation aspect of it, friends, is that you and I must be discerning. We have to have discerning hearts in line with the word, the will, and the ways of the Lord. We have to understand what God's word says, and we have to be prepared to stand in the evil day. The majority of Americans were not prepared to stand during COVID. How about the next iteration? Thanks for joining us. Become a partner, friend, send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. Do it today. God bless.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.